She's always over to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is Canto 4, Chapter 31. Narada instructs the Pachetas, and it's text 11. Shrutena tapasa va kim vachubihi chitta vitibihi budhya va kim nipunaya bolena indriya gadasa. Shrutena tapasa vakim vacho vishchita vittibhi budhya vakim nipunaya valinandriya gadasa. Shrutena tapasa vakim vatso bishchita vittibhi vatso bishchita vittibhi budhya vakim nipunaya budhya vakim nipunaya valinandriya gadasa valinandriya gadasa. Shrutena tapasa vakim shrutena tapasa vakim vatso bishchita vittibhi vatso bishchita vittibhi budhya vakim nipunaya budhya vakim nipunaya valinandriya gadasa. Shrutena by Vedic education, by Vedic tapasa by austerities, va or kim, what is the meaning? Vachobi by words, chitta of consciousness, vittibi by the occupations, budhya by intelligence, va or kim, what is the use? Nipunaya, expert, balena by bodily strength, Indriyagadasa, by power of the senses. Translation. Without devotional service, what is the meaning of severe austerities, the process of hearing, the power of speech, the power of mental speculation, elevated intelligence, strength, and the power of the senses, responsively? Without devotional service, what is the meaning of severe austerities, the process of hearing, the power of speech, the power of mental speculation, elevated intelligence, strength, and the power of the senses? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. From the Upanishad Mundaka, Upanishad 3.2.3, we learn, Nayam atma pavachine nalabhyo, name dayan abahuna shutena, yam evasha vrinute tenalabhyas, tashyesha atma vivinute tanum swam. Our relationship with the Supreme Lord is never advanced by simple study of the Vedas. There are many Mayavadis, sannyasis, fully engaged in studying the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra and Upanishad, but unfortunately they cannot grasp the real essence of knowledge. In other words, they do not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is the use in studying all the Vedas if one cannot grasp the essence of the Vedas, which is Krishna? The Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vidai cha sarvam aham eva vidya, by all the Vedas I am to be known. There are many religious systems wherein penances and austerities are greatly stressed, but at the end no one understands Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is therefore no point in such penance, tapasya. If one has actually approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to undergo severe austerities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood through the process of devotional service. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is explained as Raja Guyam, the king of all confidential knowledge. There are many good reciters of Vedic literatures, and they recite works such as the Ramayana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And sometimes these professional readers manifest very good scholarship and they exhibit word jugglery. Unfortunately, they are never devotees of the Supreme Lord. Consequently, they cannot impress upon the audience the real essence of knowledge, Krishna. There are so many thoughtful writers and creative philosophers, but despite all their learning, if they cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're simply useless mental speculators. There are many sharply intelligent people in this material world. Prabhupada's quite heavy, huh? If you read. And they discover so many things for sense gratification. They also analytically study all the material elements, but despite their expert knowledge and expert scientific analysis of the whole cosmic manifestation, their endeavors are useless because they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as our senses are concerned, there are many animals, both beasts and birds, who are very expert in exercising their senses more keenly than human beings. For example, vultures or hawks can go very high in the sky, but can see a small body on the ground very clearly. This means that the eyesight is so keen that they can find an eatable corpse from a great distance. Certainly, the eyesight is much keener than human beings. But this does not mean that the existence is more important than that of a human being. Similarly, dogs can smell many things from a far distance. Many fish can understand by the power of sound that an enemy is coming. All these examples are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. If one's senses cannot help him attain highest perfection of life, realization of the Supreme, they are all useless. Without devotional service, what is the meaning of servi austerities, the process of hearing, the power of speech, the power of mental speculation, elevate intelligence strength, and the power of the senses? Shutena tapasa vakim vacho bichita vittibihi budhya vakim nipunaya balanendriya radasa. Om jnana timandasya gyananjala shalakaya chakchu umiltam jena tasmai shi guave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Datati Swapadantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Go Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanshakal Patu Vyacha Kipa Sinyu Bhai Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namono. So this is a Krishna Conscious 101. The Bhakta joins for 5 minutes, he knows that already. That Krishna is the center of everything. I was in San Diego in 85. I was doing some Sankirtan. So we had there was Ratha Yatra. They have nice, I don't know now, but nice little Ratha Yatra in a little park. And I was speaking to some guests. Then one Bhakta nicely brought them some juice. So they asked him, what is this? Oh, he says, what type of juice it was. And he told them it's mixed with Krishna's saliva. So you should see the faces of the guests. So I said, no, he's joking. But this was the faith of the boy. The boy just joined. And he had so much faith that the prasad was offered that Krishna had actually eaten it. You know that story, South Indian story? This man, this Brahmin was leaving the house. And he told his son to do the worship. So the mother was giving the plates, the boy was going on the altar. It took a long time. So because he was sitting and he really wanted to come to see Krishna eat. So when he would come out, there was nothing on the plates. So the mother asked him, where's the prasad, the offering? Oh, he said, Krishna ate it. So she didn't believe him. Like we don't really believe also. Or maybe. But I mean, unless someone is very advanced, he can see Krishna dancing on the altar. He can see, but at least at my stage. I know this is real, it's existing, but I cannot perceive it. So anyways, for many days this happened, and when the father came back, the mother told the father. So the father hid on the altar. And what did he see? The boy sat down and Krishna came down and he was eating on the plate. So the father was so shocked, he moved, he made some noise, and the deity went back in its place. It was Jagannath deity, and then there was some burn. He touched the ghee lamp and there's some burn, some mark on this deity. So this is the faith of the devotee. And when the bhakta joins, he already knows. Now imagine, Pachina Barisat, when Narada Muni came to preach to him, at the end, he spoke to him about pure devotional service. What did Pachina Barisat said? Oh, this is interesting, I never heard about this. So Pachina Barisat lives for thousands of years. Not only was he expert in fruitive activities, he was expert in mystic yoga. He was considered to be a Prajapati like Daksha and Brahma, a very powerful living entity. But when Narada speaks to him about pure devotional service, he says, there seems to be some contradiction between my teachers and what you're saying. It seems very different. Either they didn't know or they didn't want to tell me. But we immediately know. I mean, constantly, like in the Bhagavatam they say, the ears that do not hear the glories of the Lord, they're like what? The holes of snakes. The snakes don't have ears. They have holes. They have the beginning of the apparatus, but they don't have holes. They don't really hear, but they feel vibrations. So what is the use if you don't hear? Then it's just holes, useless holes. And what is the use of the tongue if it's just like the frog? If you don't glorify the Lord, it's like a frog. So the frog is always croaking, and Prabhupada says it attracts the black snake. In the Nectar of Instruction, when it speaks about Pajalpa, Prabhupada mentions the frog, always croaking and croaking, and doesn't know the black snake is coming to eat it. So the black snake of death is coming to eat people who do Pajalpa, the materialists. So what is the use of the tongue? What is the use of having very beautiful turbans if you don't offer obeisances to the Lord? Then the turbans are just like heavy burden. What is the use of bangles? People dress with very nice bangles if you don't worship the Lord. Then it's like bangles on a dead body. Because when bodies are dead, many times they dress the body, they put bangles. And then we know what is the use of the eyes if you don't look at the Lord. It's like the peacock feather. You see on the peacock feather, this is eyes. But you can't see with these eyes. And what is the use of the legs? They're like tree trunks if you don't go to the temple. And then the Ishopanishad, they say, what is the use to live like a tree for hundreds of years? What is the use to breathe like the bellow? You know the bellow, when they were making some casting iron, there's this like pump, and it blows air. It's breathing, but there's no life. So what is the use to breathe if you don't worship the Lord? It's like blowing the air in a bellow. But what is the use to have children like cats and dogs, or to eat like the camel? What does the camel do? The camel eats thorns. And when it's tasting, the thorns taste very good. Why? Because the thorns are plucking its tongue. And the blood is coming out. So it's thinking it tastes very good. I like it. But it's eating its own blood. So these are all descriptions that we know. We read this constantly. So this is actually Krishna Consciousness 101 for us. We know this. Krishna is central to us. If there's no Krishna in the center, there's nothing. There'll be no life. There'll be nothing surviving. You know that story during the creation? I don't know which yuga, which time of creation. But all the demigods, they were all ready. They were all in their places. The creation was going to start, and nothing moved. Then they said, oh, the super soul didn't come. The super soul had not entered into everything. Because without the super soul, there's no life. There's nothing. It's non-existent. So this is something we know, but for Pachinibhaisat, who lived for thousands of years in bygone ages, for him that was new to him. So these verses really helped me appreciate what Prabhupada gave us. Because although Patita Pavani Tutava Avata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful, even though we may not be we're not qualified, at least for myself. We're not qualified, still we're allowed to have the highest truth. Like when you do Julian Yatra, what happens? You are swinging the deities. You're swinging Radha Krishna. This is the highest pastime ever. We have the opportunity to swing Radha and Krishna in his pastime, in his Leela. Obviously, we're not there. The consciousness, we may not be there. We're participating. So this is the blessing that we have. We're born in Kali Yuga, the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, the time when Prabhupada comes, and when ISKCON is developing. So these verses really help me appreciate how the greatness that Prabhupada has given us. Now, the only way for us to understand is because we got a proper, the real guru. Because the Vedas are so wide. No one is, you see, he says, what's the use to study all the Vedas? But even if you read all the Vedas, even then we'll be confused. Because one place they say that, you know, family life is a dark, deep well. Aha, I'm not getting married. But then you read the story of Gajendra, and then Prabhupada says in the purport that you have to be in a position where you can fight Maya. The problem with Gajendra, he was in the water, and elephants in the water are not strong. If he was in the land, he would have took his foot and it would have smashed the crocodile's head. But in the water, he couldn't do it. So for thousands of years, he was fighting. So Prabhupada says in one of the purports that it's better if you can't be a brahmachari, just be a good grihastha and fight Maya like this. So they saw, and that's why in ISKCON there's this famous saying, there's different shloks for different folks. It's an old saying. There's different shloks for different folks. Because you can read, like Daksha, when Narada Muni took all his sons away twice and made them devotees, he was so angry with him. And he told him, he preached to him that you have to be a grihastha. There's no way to make spiritual advancement unless you be a grihastha. No way. But then you read another part of the scriptures, they say differently. Because it's not black and white. The goal is to go back to Godhead. But depending on the person, there may be different ways or different situations. But the goal is the same. But sometimes the medium may be different. So unless you have a guru that knows the essence of the Vedas, how you will know? So if you study, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Kama Yoga, the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the seventh verse, how does Prabhupada translate Kama Yogam? He says devotion. But if you study Sanskrit, Kama Yogam is not devotion. Kama Yoga. It's Kama Yoga. It's yoga of action. But Prabhupada knows already it's devotion. So he doesn't beat around the bush. The whole Bhagavad Gita is based on devotion. But if you study Govinda's Gita or other Gitas, they're not speaking like this. Like Kama Yoga action in Krishna consciousness. Others, they'll say it's the action in renunciation. They're not speaking about Krishna consciousness. So depending on what school of thought you are, you can translate the Gita in different ways. Some school of thought don't even go beyond the sixth chapter. Or they don't want to go to the 12th chapter. But Prabhupada knows, so he gives us the essence from the beginning that we are devotees, Krishna is the essence. Because there's two ways to do it. Either you water the root, or you look for the root. So the jnanis, they go this neti-neti process. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this, not this. Until they come to the point that this is it. But it may take many lifetimes. And you do this also, you'll see it also in the Bhagavatam sometimes. When they describe things, they do negatively. It's not this, it's not that. So we can try to understand a little bit. And then they give the item. They make us understand. So Prabhupada told us immediately that pure devotion, the moment you join, you know Krishna is the essence of everything. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. I'm a devotee of Krishna. And my goal is to go back to Krishna. But this knowledge is transcendental knowledge, is pure knowledge, and it's confidential knowledge. But we get it as we come. We come out, you know, we're doing drugs or doing whatever we're doing. And immediately we come to the temple, we shave up, and we learn the essence of all knowledge. Immediately. So that's actually the amazing thing if you read these verses. And there's a few verses like this. Now, chapter 30, chapter 31 is the Pachetas, right? Now, but they're separated by thousands of years. If you remember back chapters, I think it's 24, Pachinabhaisa told his sons that you go. I want you to go and do some austerities and get a good wife. So they went, and they went in the water for 10,000 years. So they worshipped Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva gave them a song, a prayer to Lord Vishnu. Because it's always better to use the prayers of the acharyas to pray to the Lord. So then he prays. It lasts 10,000 years. What happens during that time? Narada Muni comes and sees Pachinabhaisat and preach to him for how many chapters? 5 chapters. Because he's a hard cookie. He's speaking to Pachinabhaisat and he has to preach to him so much. He's not understanding what he's telling him. First he's trying to tell him softly. Then at the end he says, listen, the snake of death is going to come and get you. You have to leave. So it took 5 chapters, and then Pachinabhaisat leaves even before his sons come back. Before his sons come back, Pachinabhaisat left the house. He gave instructions to his ministers and he said, you tell them this and this, I'm gone. And then, chapter 30, what happens? They're still in the water. After 6 chapters, the Pachetas are still in the water. But what happens? The Lord appears to them and then they offer praise to the Lord. And then they're blessed to live, how many? 1 million celestial years. Not only that, they're blessed that after enjoying the material world, they can go back to Godhead. That's a big blessing. You can enjoy and go back. Like Priyavata. Priyavata didn't want to take the kingdom. And 5th canto. The 4th canto is all about the descendants of Uttanapad. So you have Swayambhuva Manu, and then you have Uttanapad and Priyavata. So the 4th canto speaks about all the descendants of Uttanapad, Dhruva and so on. And then the 5th canto is all Priyavata descendants. So Priyavata also, he didn't want to get into family life. But what did Brahma promise him? That you'll be in family life, but you'll never be caught by Maya. So that's what happened to the Pachetas. So they went and they lived for thousands of years and enjoy life. And one day they woke up, oh, they remembered Krishna's promise. What did Krishna promise? We can go back to Godhead. So then they went back, they went to the seashore, they started meditating. And what happened? Narada Muni comes. And then they worship him, and then they ask these questions. And Narada Muni is speaking the truth. He's telling them straightforward, what is the use of all these activities if ultimately there's no Krishna consciousness, there is no use at all. And that's what these verses are. And he continues a couple of verses, these kim, what is the use? Now, if you see it from a different perspective, from a non-devotee perspective, they would say, what is the use of all these activities if we don't get sense gratification? I remember when I was living in Toronto, we were a little far from the temple, so we would go to Mangalati through downtown. So all these kids would come out of the bars at 4 o'clock in the morning. So what is night for the materialist is day for the spiritualist. So it was time for them to go sleep, and it was time for us to get up and go to... Materialists and spiritualists will never get along. The materialist is thinking that I'm this body, whatever I do is to enjoy my body, and there's no next life, there's nothing. But the spiritualist is thinking, I'm not this body, I'm meant to serve the Lord and do devotional service. So they cannot, they're always going to clash. So when the materialist reads this, he's thinking, what is the use of all these activities if there's no sense gratification? Because the fruit of activity, the karma kandis, that's what Pachina Bhai said was doing. He was doing karma kanda. So Narada Muni said karma kanda is okay, but if you make mistakes, you're going to fall down. So same thing for mystic yoga. If mystic yoga you don't perform properly, you'll fall down also. Same thing also for gyan. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Manasochiti Nakanshiti. What is the beginning of the purport? Prabhupada says that if you're an impersonalist, you attain Brahma Bhuta and you stop there. You merge. Huh? But the devotee, Mad Bhakti Lavate Param, what he does, he continues. He continues towards the Lord to develop bhakti. So really, the Vedas, or this, the Vedic culture is so broad, this is a place for everyone. And unless we have someone who understands the essence, then you get lost. And it even goes beyond that. In ISKCON, for example, if you don't really follow, if you don't have someone to help you understand Prabhupada and understand Prabhupada's instructions, you also get lost. Because you're reading Prabhupada's books sometimes, unless you really understand Prabhupada's books, it's easy to get confused. In one conversation he says something, in another conversation he says something. When the devotees were in Japan, they were selling roses. Sometimes they were doing activities that were not that, you know, legal. So Prabhupada let them go to build temples. So you get confused. How is this happening? I remember when I joined, I was doing, in Canada we had the Pope Marathon. So we were selling Pope buttons. We had Christian cards and wigs on. So I got caught by the mountain police. So then I told them to call my father because he was living there. So the next day, my father came to me to see Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So he told him that this doesn't seem so legal, what you're doing. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj told him that's the most that we do, the most illegal. But what I'm saying is sometimes it's difficult to understand even what Prabhupada is saying in the books or what he's saying in conversation. So we also need senior devotees. So it's not just on the basis of the Vedas, it's also on the basis of Prabhupada to try to understand who Prabhupada is. So it brings us to association, that we know these truths. But all this comes through association, and unless there's proper association, then we can't make proper advancement. So just to summarize, these verses, Narada Muni came, he's preaching to the Pachetas. The Pachetas are ready to go back to Godhead after thousands of years of enjoyment. The 10 of them. And they left their wife with who? Daksha. Daksha had two births. After the death of his daughter, he was cursed to take two births. So he was in the first Manu. So the first birth is he had his head cut off. So what head did he get? A goat. That was his first birth. Then it took him five Manus to come back in the sixth Manu, and he took birth from the Pachetas. And Krishna says, Lord Vishnu told them that your son will be as powerful as Lord Brahma. So they actually had a good son. And then they left. Narada Muni is coming, preaching to them. What is the use of all these things? He's going to preach, go back to Bhamaloka, and then the Pachetas are going to go. Hare Krishna. Any question or comments? Yes, yes, Prabhu. You want to give him the mic?
I was wondering, when I was hearing the purport, I was wondering if you could define what useless means. Prabhupada, this says, this is useless, that is useless, this is useless. Because often we hear, for example, austerity is always good. Brahmacharya is always good. Study of the Vedas is always good. So, what is the word useless actually?
No, everything has a benefit. Even if you become a Brahmavadi, not Mayavadi, but a Jnani, that has benefit. Kama Yuga has benefit. Everything has a benefit, but Prabhupada is speaking from the highest truth. From the highest level, if you look at it, it's like if you're flying in a plane, the higher you go, the more the houses look small, and the more the clouds look real. But if you go down, the more houses are big, and the more the clouds are far. So the higher your consciousness is, the more Maya looks false, and the more Krishna looks real. But the more your consciousness is low, the more Maya looks real, and Krishna looks like a myth. So he's speaking from the highest consciousness, that all this ultimately is useless because we want Krishna. But Prabhupada is so, if you look in the Nectar of Devotion, in the 12th chapter, when he describes the different steps of pure, of devotional service, he even explains in one purport that even if someone gives charity, not to Krishna, to anything, he will come to Krishna consciousness. Just because he starts giving. So yes, everything is positive, but he's speaking from the highest. Yes, can I give him a call?
This business of useless is interesting. When several years ago, back actually many years ago, in the 90s, I was here and they had one professional Bhagavatam speaker come. And he was extremely popular all over India. I don't follow these people. I don't know what he's doing now. But at that time, he was very, very popular. And I was living in the Grihastha area in the back there. And he was staying in one of the higher buildings here, right behind the Samadhi, those long buildings. He was staying up there on, I think, the third floor or something. Anyway, he had an entourage and so many people. And every morning in the park, I would come to Bhagavatam class, and I would see these people standing in the park. There was one woman, and she stood every day in the exact same spot for hours and hours and hours, meditating and hoping to get a glimpse of this guru if he came out on his veranda. And just in a prayerful mood, she was just meditating. And it was from a devotional standpoint, where we believe in a lot of action, we believe in service and so forth. It was kind of spooky. It kind of, felt very, very strange. And the atmosphere that was created there by this entourage of people worshiping this particular guru as a professional reciter, Those people, they never actually ask for a donation. They just, take whatever comes. But it's a profession. So Prabhupada was very, very much against this. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. Finally, the devotees in the administration got the message that this was not a very tasteful arrangement. This is not a good arrangement to have these people, these professional people, come. At that time, we had a large pandal outside, a permanent pandal. I think that covered building over there, which they moved from one place to another. But they were utilizing that facility. But the atmosphere, and this was, of course, not main festival time. It's like it is now. Mayapur is sort of sparsely populated. But the atmosphere created by this particular professional person just really disturbed all the devotees. And all the devotees were complaining, why is this person here? So like this, we see that this mood, this professionalism in recitation and so forth is fairly useless. It doesn't actually engender devotional mentality. It engenders a kind of search for profit, adoration, distinction. We're seeing the guru in a light of, oh, he's a very important person. I wish I could become like that. And therefore, I meditate on that person. it's not really Krishna conscious.
It's not Krishna conscious, but at the same time, one of the offenses to the holy name is to speak confidentially, conventionally, glories of the holy name. So if you go, and we don't do that, because if you do this, what happens is they'll get discouraged if you give, or they'll become offensive. So if we tell someone it's useless, what you're doing and this, then they become discouraged. So we have to speak to people according to their levels. It's not something we go out in the street to say you're useless because you're not, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness. We have to preach to people with love and devotion, in the sense that we have to see where they stand, and based on where they stand, this is where we preached. We don't misuse our independence. Misusing independence means I'm on Sankirtan and I'm getting angry with this person. I'm misusing my capability to get angry. I am capable to get angry, but I'm misusing it because it's not the proper time to use it. I'm misusing it. So we really have to know how to use our independence, so we preach in such a way that people don't become discouraged. This is an important point, because yeah, we know it's useless. But even to some devotees, sometimes you preach, it's heavy for them depending on where they're at. Yeah, it's useless. But depending who it is, then we have to be careful, I think. Yes, Guru. Titaka.
I wanted to ask about the accepting Varaprastha or renouncing this family association. Because we see in many of these cases, we see that they left the families, even Prachina Parishad. And actually, he could have very good association. His sons, they were pure devotees. They saw directly Supreme Lord Vishnu, and when they could come, he could get good association. And so we see many times devotees in ISKCON, they are staying with their families and enjoying these grandchildren and like that. And because they are devotees was the problem. But we see in examples of these great personalities, they didn't stay in these associations. Even it was association of devotees. So how is it in our practical lives? What we should do?
I didn't understand fully. You're saying they didn't take association? You're saying that they announced they give up family life?
Yeah, this great personality.
But they gave when they died, their wife had an older son to take care of them.
Now I'm speaking about that they didn't stay in the circle of family.
Yes.
They left.
Yes, after their duties were finished.
All of the family members were devotees.
Yes.
Even very advanced devotees.
Yes.
And we can see...
Oh, why they didn't stay to be with devotees?
I mean, like, for example, we traveled here in India, we preach, we visited several houses, several devotees, and they are living these generations together, mother, grandmother, grandfather, and like that, and...
Kapiladev, you know that story, Kapiladev. Kapiladev took sannyas, or not took sannyas, but he left home. No, it's not Kapiladev, it's Kashyapa, right? Kashyapa, I think. Kashyapa had Kapiladev, right?
Kardama.
So Kardama had Kapila, but he left home. His son was Krishna. But Prabhupada says in the purport that this is the way of life. This is what you do. You leave. His son was Krishna. He left home. He could have stayed there with Krishna. When devotee spoke to Kapila, Kapila smiled at her. And Krishna says, what else do you want if Krishna smiles at you? Anything you want, that's it. But they left. So he left his wife with his older son, because that's a tradition. That's how it works. Because you see, if you break this, then people who are not at that stage, they also will not do it. So even though one is very advanced, he will follow the principles. Sannyasis don't marry people. They criticize Prabhupada. Prabhupada is marrying his disciples. But if he doesn't marry people, what is he going to do? His disciples have to get married. So he's doing it. It's not, he's a sannyasi, he's not going to touch it. No, he's doing what is needed so they can become Krishna conscious. So you have to follow the Vinashram principle. You may be the highest person, but you do it to show the example. Even Krishna shows the example. He goes to Gokul. He doesn't need to go to Gokul. Why is he doing it? Why is he, you know, also, he gets up, he wants, in the Krishna book, it says he gets up early in the morning to meditate on himself, and his wives are trying to keep him, don't get up. He's showing the example. Krishna doesn't have to get up for morning prayers. Make sense?
One more question?
Yeah.
You mentioned that for these materialistic people, they are engaged in prajalpa and the black snake comes. So how is it with devotees if they are engaged in prajalpa?
Devotees? But devotees is different. Or you shouldn't think like this, but devotees is different. Because... whenever you join Krishna's team, Krishna becomes very fond of you. Like if I have people with me and I'm a powerful man, you may do bad things, but I will protect you because you're part of my team. So Krishna protects his devotees. It's like the example of the orphan. Orphan is not eating at night. There's two boys Prabhupada gives. One boy is not eating, both boys are not eating. Then at night there's no food for them. One is a father, one has no father. One is an orphan and one is a father. The father is the king. One, he's punished. You're not eating because you're punished. The other one is because he doesn't have any food. So the devotee has a father, and sometimes he goes through some so-called karmic reaction. But ultimately Krishna is giving him to bring him to the highest point. So when also, we should never think or be proud enough that I have no karma. We always have some karma. Even, what's his name, Jad Bharat. Prabhupada says even at the level of Bhav, there was a little thing left. And that's why he got attached to that deer. But still, Krishna protects us. Even if one says Hare Krishna one time, Krishna becomes so fond of that person. That's why we should not criticize devotees. We don't understand Krishna's, the devotee position with Krishna. Someone may serve 10 years, be in Maya 10 years. But this Maya, Krishna is bringing him back slowly. It's not like a kami falling down. It's not the same thing. So we shouldn't be so proud that I can do what... That's an offense to do what I want. But at the moment we serve Krishna, you come on Krishna's team, Krishna will protect you. And gradually Krishna will put you in a situation to get free from the Trijalpa if you're sincerely trying to do it. Make sense? Any comments from senior people? They make sense? No? Anything else? Thank you so much, Augusta Prabhupada.